connected anyway, so, you know, about Torah, life, right? So, yeah, we were talking about the role of the relationship between maisim, norms, and I guess the more spiritually or intellectually connected or aspects of life and of Yahadus, including Midos and Emunos, the Deos, and Makshavos. And the last thing we're talking about was Hirhurim, and I was trying to show that there were different perspectives on that question, and especially trying to square, just as, you know, kind of the framework, trying to square the Gemara in Yoma, which speaks about Hirhurei Tshuva, I'm sorry, Hirhurei Avera being kosher, at least, may Maisa Averos. What that means is open for debate, as opposed to the Gemara in Kiddushin, which speaks about, you know, Makshava Tova, Kodesh Baruch Hu Tzar Palamaisa, Makshava Ra, you know, you don't get punished for, etc. There are many, many different perspectives on what that means. We talked a little bit about Rashi and the Marsha and some of the other perspectives that Rabbeinu Bechai quotes in the Kadakemach and also in his Perush al Torah and Devarim. But in particular, I was focusing on three views very quickly. One is the view of the Rambam, the Mor Nebuchim, where the Rambam says that this is a very remarkable, you know, idea, particularly remarkable, he says. I read the language last time. And especially goes on to project that the, I guess, the, you know, the body-soul question or the, you know, spirituality-physicality question, they usually go together, that issue, you know, is very central to, you know, to religion and to Yahadus as well. And therefore, the focus in terms of, you know, Averos, you know, that distinguish between the, you know, the physical part and the, again, intellectual and spiritual parts, they also are treated differently, or they're treated as if they're different dynamic. And in that respect, Averos that are focused on the spiritual and intellectual side of man's composition are really more problematic than the physical one. That was really Rambam's idea. And I said this goes to, you know, a massive topic in all religions, in the nature of man looking for, you know, for meaning and purpose, that he weigh, you know, his physical environment and the constraints that necessarily imposes, you know, upon him, but also and especially its implications for spiritual constraints and limitations. And we all have, you know, those of us who are at least open to it, man who's open to it, you know, the instinct that we're more than, you know, the sum of our physicality, and that our significance transcends it. And that's why we look for legacy, you know, making a mark in the world and looking for purpose in the world. We are all seeking and questing for transcendence. That's what purpose of life is all about. And that brings us to, you know, a realm which isn't, you know, necessarily accessible to the, you know, to the, you know, not to touch and not to taste and not even to physical action. So the question of what that relationship is, again, some of the Mepharshim say that that's, you know, already, you know, alluded to in the first letter of the Torah, you know, that the base of Bereishis, I think the Archaim says this, you know, is about the dichotomy, the physical-spiritual dichotomy, you know, the world that you can touch and feel and measure, and the world that, you know, that enchants us and that inspires us, you know, that is the basis for, you know, for meaning, spiritual world, and that's, you know, according to many, what Shamayim and Aretz, Bereishis Bara Elokim, Esa Shamayim Be'esa Aretz, is just, you know, two creations, but again, maybe, according to some, reflects exactly this duality, this dialectic, the relationship between Shemayim, spiritual world, and Aretz. Again, the Aruch Chaim, who's known as a Kabbalist, of course, and somebody who's searing, Musar, I guess you would call it, but not Musar in the Musar movement sense, because that would be anachronistic. He's earlier than that, but his emphasis on ethics and on piety. Right at the very beginning of Bereishis, if you read the Aruch Chaim through Parshas Bereishis, or just even the first perek, you're very struck at how this is such a big topic for him. But also he's unequivocal about the idea that what's unique about Judaism, as we know, based on the Gemara and Shabbos, but it runs through everything, is on the one hand the quest for spirituality, but the idea that the quest for spirituality really runs through physicality. And the superiority of man over angel, and that afar mino adama, is not a bidyeved; it's a lachatchila. So while that imposes tremendous challenges that need to be overcome, right? How do you again seek spirituality when you're constrained in that way? Nonetheless, that seems to be the mainstream view of Yahadus, and that kind of touches on what the Rambam really is talking about when he talks about Hirhurim or Huri Avera being Kashim Yoser, because he says that's the faculty of man that is the closest to pure spirituality, and for that to be contaminated, or compromised, is particularly problematic. Whereas, the physical side, maybe some, thinkers, philosophic thinkers, and this is true in Yahadus, as religious thinkers, and especially in Yahadus, it's a complicated topic, think that, Chomer is the source of sin, or is equated, with the Yetzer Hara. Not everybody agrees with that. Again, you can imagine that would be complicated, because if you think that man's framework and his restrictions, and that side of it is l'chatchila, and how does that fit in with saying that it's the source, of all, of all his problems? The truth is that it's complicated, and both of those things can also do coexist according to many Jewish thinkers. But nonetheless, the idea that man was created Ofram and Adama, which may be responsible for part of his his challenges and even the ones that he has, failed to properly, respond to, is still a lechatchila, and it still defines humanity. But it just makes more egregious, according to the Rambam, and those who agree with him, that's the pshat in, Hirhurim being cautious. Okay, so that's the Rambam, and there's much more to say about that. Even in the little, the few sessions that we've been having on Monday, where we started in Hoshuva, and we saw those other Rambams about, Tikkun, L'hochei Neslibo, and, especially Tahara Saleh, they really fit in perfectly, with that idea. The Rambam's a very, 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 as we know, consistent thinker. Not necessarily predictable, but certainly consistent. The second view was the view... Oh, I forgot my. You mind? The Rabbeinu Chai, which is probably sitting on my desk there. Okay. There may be somebody in there who's, But yeah, the second view is the view of the Ramban, which is quoted in the Katakamach, and not elsewhere, but is attributed to the Ramban, and that kind of seems to downplay. The role of Hirhure or Machsheva Saveira relative to my Saveiras. I just wanted to zero in on that just a little bit more because Rabbeinu Bechai basically imputes to the Ramban that the reason that he seemingly minimizes Hirhure Aveira is the... Found it. Excellent, thank you. Oh yeah, one of the Ramban. Is he still working with the guy?
No.
Oh, he's gone. Okay, thank you very much. The reason that he imputes to the Ramban the idea that you can't really control your inner thoughts, again, something which we've talked about already, in terms of the Chinuch and Ibn Ezra and many other Mefarshim. Harava Gadol HaRamban said that Hirhura Avera Koshin Gavera Achar Maisa Avera Shekivin, it's only Achar Maisa Avera. The Gemara is talking about a situation where you did a Maisa Avera and you remain enmeshed in the mentality that brought you there. Shekivin Sheosva Avera Kvar V'odhu Maharer Bo V'zeu Kosha Migufa Avera Atma Al Koda Maisa Avera Ein Unsho Kosha Ve'eno Nenosh Klal. Shari Omer Razal, Machshava Ra, Eina Kadosh Baruch Hu Mitzar Fala Baisa. The Eino Nena Shalaha, meaning the other Gemara. The Chen Omer HaKosuv, right, Oven, Imra Isi, Bilibi, Lo Yishama Hashem. Elim Kein Hoysa Machshava Savar Zara, they already mentioned that there are different levels. There are certain things that are, by their nature, the Isra itself is the Machshava. That's, of course, going to be different. Or Machshavos, which are, you know, obsessive-oriented. The Man Tvosis Beis Yisrael Bilibam. Near Midas Harav, but this is where the I wanted to get on the record. So he basically understands, he imputes the Ramban to be saying that the reason for this is Ki Kivan Shahahir Eino Biyad Hadam Ein Lo Baze Onesh Kodem Maisa Haver. And that would put the Ramban against those other thinkers, Ibn Ezra, the King of the many others. That, of course people have the capacity. I didn't say of course like it's easy to do, but of course we hold you responsible for your emotional and your intellectual inner world, not just for, norms and actions. Indeed, the whole Ramban, worldview is something which certainly supports something which reinforces the idea that a proper, perspective on Avodas Hashem, spills over and provides discipline in the emotional and in the intellectual realm as well. We'll talk more about that because we're transitioning, right, into a different topic. But the Ramban's view of the wider Tamei Mitzvot and the wider values that the halacha presents are all about a mechanism to to transform the religious personality. That's all about how you think and what your filters are, etc. And if you look at the Ramban in V'hafta L'Rehacha Kamocha, the way the Ramban describes Avas Hashem, other things, it's very clear. This is a little strange to me, actually, because Rebbe Bechai is a very devoted Talmud of the Ramban, and, many, it really works off if there's one work that this, his Perush Al HaTorah, and Kara Kemach, for that matter, as well, works off of, it's really the Ramban. It's a strange projection that kiven shehirhur eno biyad ha'adam, unless he means something a little bit different, and maybe this is the not only the pshat, in Rabbeinu Bechaye, but maybe Laor, his own view, maybe we can understand a little bit. Then it's hard to understand the zetema, so I'll explain what I mean. So what does he mean by this? It just doesn't fit in, and he's somebody, as I say, who wasn't not only inspired by, but basically walked in the footsteps of the Ramban. The whole contribution of Rebbe Bechai in all of his works is built off of the Ramban's Beis Medrash and his Torah. Oh. And ironically, again, what I would have suggested that he meant is a little bit belied by the continuation. He says that the Zed Tema, I think I read this last time also, Ki Lama Lo Ye'anesh Bihiru Rav Haraim, why wouldn't he be punished for his improper thoughts or perspective? V'machshava Bovad B'lo Maisa. After all, V'hu Metamei Nafsho Asichlis Bahem. Right, he's contaminating, the purity of his intellect. Kamoshes Kartilamal. Earlier, he's quoting Perushim, you know, very much in sync with the Rambam's idea and Mar Nevuchim that we were talking about. Aval Yesh Lomar Beikar Dabar Ki Bevada Yesh Onesh Al Hirhur Blo Maisa Klal. Even if something doesn't come to an actual Maisa, there is certainly an Onesh. The Kasher Ahirhur Zema Tzui Ba'adam Apo Bishem Ba'Maisa Hinez Asimina Mifshol V'Hachet Ki Kishem Shebechiras Ha'Maisa Mesura Biyada Adam Letova L'Ra. Right, Reina Sati Lifanecha Yom Zachayim Besatov Kain Bechiras Hamakshava Mesura Biyado Achar Hachanos. Now Kain Sorach Sheichazer Achar Refuoso Sheishtadol Bahachanos, etc. And then he continues. I'm going to get back to these words in just a second. Bimboi Lava Machshava Hara Sheyigar Ba Shol Tigamer Belibo Shemena Goer Ba Behinig Meres Belibo Hareza Nenash. It's beautiful language, all the Rishonim use. Kisha Adam Mechen Eslibo Kenegdo Yizbarach. And then he quotes other psukim. This is the end of this os, the os of, you know, Tahara, or what's it called? Tahara Saleh. An appropriate end. Anyway, if you examine the Rebbe B'chai himself, what he says, I think what's interesting about it is that the language, you know, implies that he too distinguishes between two types of hirahurim. And this is like an obvious and a necessary distinction, but I think it's very clear in the lashon. And one, of course, is just, you know, like a superficial hirahur, like a passing thought. People have passing thoughts all the time. I'm not saying that they're necessarily good. I'm not saying that they aren't things that you could also, you know, work on. But obviously, they're far less significant than, you know, more pressing and more focused, you know, concentration, you know, on improper things, even to the point in some cases of obsession. Again, going back to my perspective on Los Achmod for the Rambam, which I mentioned in the past, which is the idea that, again, the Rambam has, you know, of course, gradations based on the psukim and the Asaras HaDibros, the two different Asaras HaDibros, Los Esaveh and Los Achmod. But even Los Esaveh, and certainly Los Achmod, you know, isn't about a makshava bialp. It's about a makshava, you know, which takes hold in your psyche or your imagination, and which is, you know, difficult, which already basically reflects itself in a plan, and which has already spilled over to affect your perspective, you know, on other issues. In the case of Los Esaveh, you know, it certainly is not a, you know, passing thought, like you walk by, your neighbor has a nice car, and you say, ah, you know, I'd like that car. You know, nothing wrong probably with that. I mean, if you say it every day, maybe there's something wrong with it. But when you start thinking, how am I going to get it from him? Right, that's a different madriga. In Los Achmod is when you can't get it out of your mind, it's not just like you have a plan, you know, you're thinking, like, you know, it would be nice to get his car, you know. It's like, you know, a real plan, and a plan, you know, that from your point of view at least, you will not, you know, relent until you achieve your goal. And then there's this debate. I mean, the Rambam holds that you really have to achieve your goal. And others think that, you know, that part of the effort might be enough, and, you know, maybe articulating it. But when I don't want to go into the whole, that's a fascinating topic. I don't want to go into the details of it right now. The point I'm trying to make is, as a paradigm, that there are machshavos and there are machshavos. I mean, of course, there have to be. We would expect that there would be. We know that there are in our own experience. There are, you know, hirhurim bi'alma. You know, the difference, I think, even between the language of makshava and hirhur. Right? Hirhur has a more, you know, I think, serious connotation than makshava in some cases, or makshava bialma. But, my point is that there are different levels. Just like we talked the other day, you know, in the Sugandhapi Basin, Basin Kulin, about, you know, there's Makshava, there's Maisa, with regard to Kata, right? And then there's, you know, Makshava, which is Mukhachas, you know, Mitocha Maisa. So probably those aren't just, you know, a difference between things that are discernible objectively, you know, or not. It definitely has to do with, you know, discernibility and concreteness, but it also is a shiur in the level of the makshava. You know, things that are mukach mitoch makshava are A, more objectified and concrete, but also they're likely to be, you know, more deeply rooted. So it's fascinating that here, when he wants to reject the Ramban and he wants to tell you that you for sure are going to be nenesh on Hirhurim, Rabbi Bechai is careful, you know, mitame napsho hasichlis bahem, but the language that he uses is also careful, you know, to focus not on machshava bialmo or hirhur bialmo, but on things that are more substantial. Let's listen to the language again. That's definitely different than the way he understood the Ramban, or what the Ramban says, I should say, so far. The kasher ha-hirhur hazeh matsui ba'adam. Right? I think of the, I'm not 100% sure, I think he doesn't mean, you know, when it happens, I think he means when it is frequent, matsui ba'adam, meaning it's discernible. Right? It's present. And it's a kind of a concrete presence, I say. Afal pi she'ein b'maisa, hine ze siman hamichshol v'hachet. Meaning it has to be the kind of makshava which is a, you know, which is an expression, not the source of, right, but the a reflection already, a manifestation of michshol and a chet. Again, the fact that he says michshol in addition to chet substantiates what I'm saying. Ki hita atzmo mine orach velo godal napsho b'madregos ha-hakonos. Meaning this has to do with the way that he's cultivated his spiritual and intellectual life in a broader way. Lo godal napsho b'madregos ha-hakonos. This idea of hachana, you know, meaning this isn't a pleading thing. This is, you know, how does this seamlessly fit with what this man has been doing, how he's been, you know, preparing, you know, for this moment, or the background is of this moment, is something that he repeats at least three times. Kikashem shebechira samaisa, mesura biyad ha'adam letova l'ra, kein bechira samachshava mesura biyado achar ha'achonos. That's not a fleeting thought, right? That is a something which reflects an orientation, you know, that is rooted in what this man has been thinking previously and probably doing previously, meaning his general orientation. So that, the idea of Bechira in Makshava itself, meaning what he was imputing to the Ramban is there's no Bechira in Makshava, you can't even control it. You're not even responsible for it. And what he's saying is, when he disagrees with the Ramban, is not that every Makshava is the same, and that every minimum passing thought is potentially an avera, a transgression, right? But only the ones that really reflect an orientation. V'al kein, they fit into a pattern. Tzorach sheyichazer acha rufuoso, sheyishdadel b'hachonos, again, right? V'hu sheyachin libo u'machshev osav al Hashem Yisparach v'lo yichashev v'yavin machshav torak b'machshava tova the kishron amifalin, meaning you should be, you know, the you know, the psychologist, you know, here is supposed to tell you that, you know, you have to change your whole orientation and that there are actions that, you know, are connected with this and, you know, kind of exercises, mind exercises, thought exercises, different focus, etc. Bim ba, elav amaksha hara, sheyigar ba, shelo tigamer bilibo, right? I mean, you have to, if you begin, you know, something begins to take hold of you, right, you have to fight it, basically. You have to shout it down, right? Shaloti gamer, it shouldn't be gamir gamar lev, you know, gamir stas. Gamir stas implies, you know, a serious level of engagement. Shim eno goer ba, behini gmeris belibo hareza nenosh. The kasher yatmid machshav tozos, right? It's the contrary. If you don't, you know, combat it, neutralize it, you know, from whence it began, you know, and in response to what it is, instead you let it continue. But again, the lashon of yatmid, doesn't say yamshich, says yatmid, right? Meaning it becomes like tamid, an obsession, like a masmid, you know, like somebody who's, this is what he does. Machshav tozo, zman rav, v'achin b'libo la'avos Hashem yizbarach, right? Ulekarva elav v'lalechas bidrachav. These are the antidotes, right? Is lahachin b'libo la'avos Hashem, lekarva elav v'lalechas bidrachav. Gam Hashem yitenato v'yigmaleu kitzidko, shiyachin libo shelo yachshov davara v'lo yale machshavto rakto. Alze amru balataher misayinos. Balatar misayinoso, according to this view, is not only about maisim, siyata d'shmaya, you know, to do the right thing, but it's also, again, about your spiritual and intellectual life, your olam machshavti, your olam ruchani, which has as well, ki Hashem yizbarach mechin lev ha'adam mi'asher toldaso kishadam mechin es libo kenegdo yizbarach. So this is not, you know, a fleeting thought, but we have this very clearly. It's a question of what the religious personality is supposed to be, you know, and how he is supposed to conduct himself when he is encounters these challenges. So the truth is, it's interesting. You know, the Ramban, that's why I say it's a little bit ironic. You know, you might have thought that, you know, the Ramban would be dismissive of fleeting thoughts, you know, and about fleeting thoughts, he might say that you can't be held accountable. But it's hard to read the Ramban's Perush al Torah, frankly, and some of the other things that he's written in Taras Adam, etc., and walk away thinking that the Ramban, you know, thinks that norms are just about actions and they're not about, you know, refining, you know, the religious personality. If anybody, you know, put that idea on the map, it was probably of all Rishonim, mostly the Ramban in his famous speeches. His famous pieces on Pansipor and Kedoshim Tiyu, the Asay of Shabbos, the Vasisa Yashavato, and many others. Almost in every, you know, parsha, you'll find, you know, the Ramban zeroing in on that kind of idea. So if we were talking about Machshava V'Alma, you know, then this would be a fair statement about the Ramban. But since the Rebbeinu B'chai himself is not contrasting it, you know, with anything other than like a very, very, you know, concerted effort and focus, etc., it remains a little bit tamua. I also wanted to add, but assuming that the interpretation is correct in the Ramban, so how does it fit in the Ramban? So I think what's, you know, tamua in the eyes of Rabbeinu B'chai is the idea that, again, what he imputes, which Ramban doesn't, even in the quote that he's quoting, Nir midasarab ki kivan shahir her eno biyad adam eno bazaonesh kodamaisa veira. I don't think that's fair, and I don't think, again, it is about fleeting, but that's not what we're talking about. But I do think, if Ramban says this, that he means something totally different. And this is something that we will explore, more fully when we get to Dapei in Poland. But again, you know, there are no secrets here. So let me just throw out the idea. The Ramban here does say that you don't get an onesh for hirhuri. And therefore, he didn't say hirhuri avera kashin me avera. He felt as a memra in Chazal, you know, has to be understood, you know, in a more limited way. And that it refers to machshavos, which persist after the ma'isa avera, and what they reflect rather than, you know, a machshava lifne or a machshava, you know, lechud, you know, which is disconnected from ma'isa averas. That part is certainly true. And in explaining it, because he explains, Shekivin she'asa ve'erakvar, ve'odu b'harbo, again, that part is very understandable. Kasher migufa ve'era atzma, avot kodama ma'isa ve'era ein onsho kasha, ve'eno nenash klal. He does say you're not nenash. Shari amru, machshava ra, ena kodesh baruch v'tzar kala ma'isa, ve'eno nenash aleha. Helen Kane, machshava savada zara, etc. So I think that this Ramban fits in with a very important category, and that is one that is reflected by the korban of Ola. In Parshas Vayikra, it's brought the Ramban, right? In Parshas Vayikra, the Ramban comments on the pasuk v'nirtza lo lechaper alav. Right. And again, we'll elaborate this when we talk when we get to Daf Hey. But the question is, why does there are two questions that the Ramban deals with in the Parashat Torah. One is what Rashi quotes from the Sifra. Rashi says, "Almau Maratza," like what the Torah uses the expression "Vendirtza lo lechaper alav," about korbanola that you bring. So the Sifra says, "Almau Maratza im tovar krisus and misas bezdin o misa bidei shemayim o malchus hari onshan amur." Right? If you're talking about more severe violations, right? We already spelled that out in the Torah. We know it has nothing to do with Ola. There are other ways to neutralize those. In a Maratza, ela lase v'alav shenita klase. That's Rashi. That's a quote of Rashi, Ubraisa Yibetoras Kohen. Says Ramban, Vani Tema, V'chihechan Onshan Amur, K'ya Karbonos V'shogein Nehem Maratzin, V'nu Cholomar She'echapru Al-Chayve Misa B'dei Shamayim Shogegin. Right? V'al-Chayve Malkas Shogegin, V'al-Chayve Misas Bezin Shogegin, V'osin Shein Chayov Aleim Chatas, V'maka Avavimo V'kalo, K'shem Shachatos mechaperes bechayvei krisus shogin. Says Ramban, how do you know that this refers only to, Essen and Lavanita classes? Right? You could think that there's another category, and that is, again, you bring a carbon chatos for a shogeg, right? When zdono kares, then shigagaso is chatos. But let's say zdono is Malkus, or Zdono is Misa B'dei Shemayim, not Karis, something less severe than Karis. So there's a whole category. What do you bring B'shogeg then? Maybe you bring an Ola. How do you know that Ola refers to Essen and Lavanita Klaseis? That's his question. So he gives two answers to this question. First is, Ulai Bavur Shapir Shakasu, B'chai B'misa Tezen, B'chai B'krisis, Onshu B'mezen, B'shogeg, right? He says if you pay attention to the Torah, so the Chayvei Krisus, we know the Torah spells out what happens explicitly. The Mezenu B'shogeg is like a typical Ramban where he he just observes everything, Medayik and everything. But when it comes to Chayvei Misa B'dei Shamayim and Malkus, the Torah only mentions mezid, no shogeg. So therefore, the omission of shogeg in this categories, when you consider the explicit, dealing with the topic, when it comes to that other group, implies that there's nothing here. So the silence here is deafening, you could say. The silence is tantamount to a statement that there is no Onesh, under these, so all you have left is, Essen and Lavanita Klase, etc. That's the first answer of the Ramban. According to that answer, right, there's really no fundamental difference, frankly, between, what Ola does, or at least there's no reason to think that there's a fundamental difference, between the concept of Avera and Onesh and Korban, and Mechila in Chatas. Right? Or what would have been in Misa B'dei Shemayim and Malkus category, and frankly in Aseh and Lavanita Klaseh. But then the Ramban has another day. where it says v'itachen lomar ki babur shelo is kibur karbonos hanedava lachaper. The Torah doesn't say lachaper; it says v'nirtzalo lachaper. What is this expression of v'nirtzal? It says it doesn't say lachaper olav al shigaso shoshagag kasher b'karbonos achet lomar v'nirtzal. So ha'ilu rabaseinu b'mashmalus hazeh sheichaper ala mezidim she'inam ritzuyim lefanav. The Zola can only come for mezid because the Torah uses the expression v'nirtza l'lachaper, and ritzui, and being a ritzui Hashem, is different than kapar. So what he's saying is, if you're a shogeg, you're a ritzui Hashem, because you did accidentally, inadvertently. It can only be a mezid who's ena ritzui Hashem. Im kein yefshel lechaper lemezidim zulase alase velosase, because they're the only ones left. And then he adds ubame yisratzu. It's based on the pasuk ubame yisratzu el adonehem. And then he adds bidoron hazeh. Again, when we get to the Gemara, we'll talk more about this. But there's mixed evidence whether Ola is a mechaper or a maratza, to be more to the point. Or it is a doron, meaning it's a gift. If you look in the Gemara in Zvachim, there seems to be, and other places, contradictory evidence. But the Ramban here bridges that evidence. Bamei yisratzu al adoneim, bidoron, he's not the only one, hazeh. In other words, the doron is the basis for this ritzui, whatever that is. And then he adds, this is where I come in to the connect the two. V'ra'isi ba'gada v'vayikra rabba toni rav shim ba'yachai eina ola ba'a ela al hirhurei averas halev. Right, this is a view. It doesn't appear in the Gemara, but it appears in many, many midrashim, and it was accepted by, the Rishonim when they talk about it, namely that Ola is mechaper or meratzeh, not only on mitzvah saseh, and not only on lav shenita klaseh, maybe also lav shen b'maisa, that's a discussion. Gemara Yoma says lav shenita klaseh, but whatever. But also on hirhurei avera, which is exactly our topic. Right, so you have this comment of the Katakemach on the name of the Ramban, Hilu dismissing that hirhurei avera, without a maisa avera, is nothing. But that's not really what the Ramban, even as quoted, is saying. What he's really quoted as saying is that it doesn't trigger an onesh. Right? And now you can see what I'm getting at, which is Ramban says, V'ra'isi ba'gada, the ein ola ba el al hurhure averas halei. And then they have, again, all the makoros that imply this. B'loshon v'nirtzalo yaksar el ha'shem ha'nichbad ha'nizkar. She'isratza lo b'korban hazeh lechaper alav. Miloshon, b'me yisrate zeh el adonav. V'or panecha kirit sisen, v'chein rabim. And then he has a second day of yitachen, kivin nirtza kinu lechet, shen nirtza lo cheto. And then he concludes, v'yitachen, a third v'yitachen, right? Shehu ke'inyan arishon, ke'ilu ha'avon ratzui, lefnei Hashem, lo yichar apo bo, meaning the person, oh. So what I think the Rabban is saying here, and this is a big issue in the Korban Ola, but in general in the phenomenology of sin, and of Korbanos, and in general, Korbanos Hashem, and that is that there are two types of averos, if you will, or transgressions, and there are two types of kaparos. And of course they overlap a lot, don't get me wrong. But one, of course, is very much focused on the ma'isa avera, right? And the need to neutralize a particular sin, right? The chefsa shel avera. You do a ma'isa avera, and then you have this, avera action on your record, and the focus is very much on what it is that you did. But there's another parallel, in some cases overlapping idea, and that's averas agavra, or in some cases, rishus agavra, where you do something where the action per se isn't so terrible, but it reflects, right, an orientation which is unacceptable or inconsistent with being an Oved Hashem. In that case, you don't so much require kapara. Kapara typically relates to the Chafta Shel Aveira, the Ma'isa Aveira. What you really require is Ritzui. What you want to be is what you have abdicated. You're no longer a Ritzui Hashem, which is a Gabra kind of a statement, right? And you want to achieve that, you want to, you know, rehabilitate yourself as a Ritzui Hashem. It's not an onesh. An ola is a doron. It's a matana, but it's a matana that reflects that the relationship is back on course. The Gemara in, again, we'll talk about this more when we talk in Chulin, because it's relevant to the Gemara there, with Mumar, and, you know, whether a Mumar can have a kapara or not, and different things. But the Gemara in Zvachin, for example, discusses, or makes the point, that you can have only one chatas per Aveira. If you do, if you're Mechal Shabbos 10 times, as we know, Kilo Katos, but even the same action, but a different Halamos, right, every Aveira triggers a separate fee of Karpa. But you can have many Essen, you know, being the Sratza with a single Ola. Moreover, the Ola can work for Erhurim and Essen and Lavanita classes. The Gemara has a suffix in Zvachim, you know, whether or not even a Beiros that you of this type that you did va'achar hafrasha, let's say you're mafresh the karban, you're makdish the karban. So after you're mafresh the karban, then you had hirhure aveira, or you violate, or you abstained from doing a mitzvah sase, right? Or you did a lavanita klase. The Gemara's mistapek. The Gemara says, why? Well, you never have such a suffix about chatas, because it can only be one. But here there are multiple. Just as there can be multiple, can there also be, can you also get it in even after the hafrasha? But I think the big idea is the idea, and again, there's a lot of evidence for it. I don't think everybody agrees with it, but that is that the ritzui of an ola isn't just on a different, you know, quality of aveira. Abstaining from an asay, a lav shendita klasay, or hure aveira. One way to look at it is that it's all basically the same idea, just gradations. And what I'm suggesting is that it's more than that. And that is that in one case, you're dealing with an onesh, a maisa aveira, chetza shel aveira, a very specific focused protocol. And in the other case, you're talking about the relationship and being a ritzui Hashem, ritzui lechaper. And that's why it's Yerhurim. Yerhurim, in that respect, are very critical, because that's who the person is, as opposed to only what he does. So in the Ramban, in this piece, basically says that there's no onesh. What he means is, there's no onesh, but it doesn't mean that there isn't a requirement of ritzui. It doesn't mean that makshava is something that is insufficient, inadequate, right, to trigger, you know, tshuva. He doesn't say there's no tshuva. He says there's no onesh. Not that kind of a ma'isa aveira. Ramban Perish Al HaTorah makes clear that he embraces the idea that ola applies also to hirhure aveira. So in a way, what Ramban is projecting, you know, like the Rambam, but in a very different way, is that, you know, these are two different dimensions of chet and of ritzui / kapara. It's not an onesh, it's about ritzui. And the truth is that we find this on the broader level as well. I always like to explain, this is not so consistent in the Ramban himself, but the, you know, the in terms of the halakha, you know, the Mishnah, the Sugya in Sanhedrin says that arba trichin machraza, that there are four categories that require, you know, that you publicize their onesh, and they are all spoken of in the Torah in that way. Kol Yisrael Yishmu V'yiro, V'lo Yizidu No, that kind of, you know, that exact quote or something very close to it. Mesis, Edom Zomim, Ben Sora Mora, Zakin Madre, that those are the four. So the Ramban, in this Perush al Torah, explains that because half the explanation I like, the explains that these averos are all out of whack. They're all not synchronous with the onesh. Right? The you didn't accomplish your goal in the case of Mesis or Hazama in Ben Sora or Morez, Nidon El Shim Sofo, the Zakin Bamrez, Mishum, you know, Sheosa, you know, Shtei Toros. You know, it doesn't seem like he did a capital offense. Did he? So the Raman says, no, this is all very pragmatic. It's all oriented towards a kind of, you know, deterrence. You know, they don't deserve these death penalties, but, you know, for the greater good of Klal Yisrael, you know, they receive them, and therefore you have to publicize them, because part of the whole Nechayev is the impact. All these things are so destructive and corrosive. There's a lot to say about that in the Talmud. But I thought always that you could say it a little bit differently. They take the first half of the Ramban, where he points out that there seems to be a disproportion, you know, between the, you know, between the sin and the punishment. But instead of saying, you know, that it's, it may also be a deterrent. But in addition to that, the point is that each of these people, Begavra, is a Rasha who deserves the death penalty, even if the Maisa Avera doesn't really warrant it. And that's true. Again, it's only a little trickier to explain, but again, you think he's a cynical person who manipulates, mentions, we learned Shavuos Eidos, you know, Cheskas Kashrus, you know, which is such an idealistic notion, that kind of, you know, takes that notion and corrupts it and uses it as a basis for, you know, for undermining people and attacking them. But anyway, the other ones certainly all represent a certain level of Risha Sagavra. And Rabban's pointed out as well that there's a debate about all those cases or discussion about all those cases that they may not require Hasra. It may be related to this point as well. Hasra is to some extent, lends, you know, added dimension to the Avera, to the Mais Avera. But when you have a Gavra Varian, you know, who is Roy Lemisa, that's a different story. So both on the Onesh and Avera level, as well as on the Ritzui and the Kapara level, there really are two different ideas. There's the idea of the Mais Avera, and the idea of being a Ritzui Hashem, etc. So this, we have to stop here, kind of leads us into our next topic. Which is, I think, right, what's the topic? That the idea of halakhic values, and also a little bit more pragmatically, like how we pursue that, right, in specific, you know, issues. But again, the assumption is based on the principle that, you know, it's not enough, you know, to go through life, you know, with a spotless record. And we don't look at, you know, Skuyos and Chiyuvim only in terms of Mais Averos and Mais Mitzvot. Of course we do. Don't get me wrong. But we also, you know, reflect upon the what that implies about the, you know, quality of the religious personality. And if that's the case, so the norms, the actions themselves, even the Mais Averos, are ways of, as the Rambam explains and the Ramban explains, etc., the ways of cultivating, right, a personality, right, who stands for the quest of spirituality. So I just want to talk about that idea and a little bit about what the methodology or what a methodology or some methodological points about how you would try to extract such a thing, what to avoid, I guess, and what to focus on. Right? Okay. We didn't get it, but we got